A little enthusiastic there, was going to read your part. Okay. If you would turn in your Bibles to Daniel chapter 9, verse 3. Last Sunday, I don't remember if it was Sunday or Wednesday, but I was having people jump to a lot of different verses, and I said, you know, I expect to hear this. And I said, I don't hear you. And my wife later said, are you getting hard of hearing? I could hear lots of pages. So the answer is obvious. So Daniel chapter 9, verse 3. And this is just the verse that sets the tone. It says, I set my face unto the Lord. And this is that portion of Scripture where the Lord revealed to Daniel that 70-week period, of which one is still missing, the 70th week of Daniel. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Okay, that's it. You can close your Bibles. As many of you know, 34 days ago the Lord called me to fast and pray and seek His face about some things that were going on in the fellowship, and just to get His direction and some wisdom that I need and some insights that I see now that He wanted to reveal in His Word. And it is now 34 days later. I thought it was going to be a few days or a week. It's now 34 days later and 26 pounds later. You know, that's the nice thing about fasting, is if you don't put calories in, something goes somewhere. And it's been a very exciting time, and last week I began a study and teaching on fasting and prayer. If you want to know about fasting and what the Lord has done with me through this thing, you can get last week's tape also. But it was Pot Faith last week, and as I got to, when we started around 10:30, it got to be 11:15, 11:20, and I realized I'm halfway through my notes. I'll have people to 1 o'clock here if we don't stop and eat, and they won't be here till 1 o'clock if I don't stop. So I stopped, figuring that I had another half's worth of teaching left to go. And then as I reviewed my notes this week, I realized, what was I thinking? I don't. And then this last few days this week, Pat and I went down to Maryland to visit our grandkids. They have a great busy house. We live by ourselves in a big house. They live with there are 4 children and 1 more on the way. My son-in-law's mom, who is almost 84, and her housekeeper. So it is a busy time, and I had fun with all the kids jumping on the trampoline, something I couldn't do before I was able to throw off this 25-pound bag of salt I had around my waist. And talking to Blanca, a lady from Peru, who is up here, and what a blessing it is for her to be in this family, because little Billy, who was now 2, was the age of her only grandson, Fabian, who the last time she saw him in Peru, and he's now 8. So her heart aches for her grandson, and you know my heart ached for her. So we had a lot of fun conversations talking about America and Peru. But that's where we spent the last few days. And as I went over the verses and the things that the Lord had showed me, I realized, wow, I wonder what the Lord's going to have me say on Sunday. And then Dan comes to me this morning, Dan does the announcements, and said, hey, the Lord had me up at 5:30 this morning praying for you. What was going on? I said, well, I was up asking the Lord, what do you want me to say this morning? And that can sometimes be a scary time for a pastor on a Sunday morning when you get up and say, you know what, I don't have a message. People are probably going to expect one. So anyway, yes, there is. There is a message. The Lord, in that last few hours this morning, just showed me what it was to say. And He wanted me to talk about, first off, about just the times that we're in. And one of the things that the Lord showed me was how we're so time conscious. And there are certain days that are just rush days. There are certain days that are just kind of up days. There are certain days that are kind of down days. On day 10, I had a note in my notebook that said, I went out for a morning walk between 7 and 8 a.m. down along East Lake Road, down the side of Canandaigua Lake, what would normally be rush hour, and I saw 4 cars. I like that. I like that. That kind of a population density. But I thought, you know, if I were here, I mean, it really blessed me because I thought, you know, I'm really off by myself here. But if I were there all the time, if it were like that all the time, would it really, it wouldn't really be a retreat then, would it? It would be different because I would live there, but now I'm a visitor and it's really getting off to the side of things. But we rush so much, and I had an opportunity to not rush. There's a billboard somewhere in the United States that says, "Keep using my name in vain." This is from God. "Keep using my name in vain and I'll make rush hour longer." Signed, God. Well, one of the things I noticed, you know, I was down there for 3 weeks, seeking the Lord, praying, fasting, going for walks. All of the time that I was there, I realized I was way too conscious of time. I mean, after all, I can sleep and get up and read and pray anytime I want, and yet I was still very conscious of time. And I realized that although now I had all the time I needed in the world for everything, there was never enough time. And maybe you have that sense sometimes that there's just not enough time. And sometimes it seems like we don't have a good concept of time, because you notice that some people get so much done, but they have the same number of minutes in every hour that we do and in every day. Someone asked the captain of a cruise ship, "What time's the midnight cruise?" You know, sometimes people just don't seem to get that thing about time. When I had my cell phone with me so that I could keep track in case of emergencies and dealing with the things that came up in the fellowship, but one day I called Pat and we talked for an hour and I said, "Wow, we've talked for a long time." And she said, "No, you've talked." I went, "Oh." You know, when you don't have radio and you don't have TV and you don't have people to talk to, it's interesting. What happens? You get a desire to talk, and to communicate. There's that, you know, I think about how 200 years ago there wasn't all this input. Even as you walk in here this morning, we have background music playing, and of course there's background conversations. But when you get off by yourself for weeks at a time, it's amazing how loud the silence can be, you know. But I like to think about time, and the Lord in Ephesians chapter 5 said we're to redeem the time because the days are evil. Well, you know, when Paul said that, the days were evil. Before Paul said that, the days were evil. Well, the time that we're in, the days are evil because the evil one still lives on this earth. I don't mean that every moment of every day is evil, everything that we do is evil, but the evil one is all around us. The devil and his demons and the principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places are all around us. And the days are evil and we need to redeem the time. But you know that we are so time conscious. You know that the more primitive the culture, the less they measure events by time. They don't measure time by the clock. They measure time by events, actually. You know, such and such an event happened. I remember hearing a,